present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, starring Richard Briers with Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, and Basil Dignam. Episode 4, In and Out, featuring this week's guest star, James Beck.
Right, Newman. This is it.
Morning, officer. Taking me to the governor, are you?
You should know the drill by now. Going out tomorrow, aren't you?
Oh, don't remind me.
What's up? Made you too comfortable this time, have we?
Won't go as far as to say that.
I should hope not.
Officer, I'll be able to work today the same as usual.
Why not? I'm gardening, aren't you?
That's right, and there's some planting out I want to finish before I go.
Oh, you can finish it, Newman. Pity you won't be here to enjoy the fruits of your labours. Or should I say, the flowers of your labours. Here we are, then. I don't need to tell you how to behave in front of the governor.
Hardly.
Come in.
Number 47065, Herbert Newman for discharge tomorrow, sir.
Well, Newman, this is the second time we've had one of these interviews, I think.
It's always a pleasure, sir.
Newman, you seem to go through life treating everything as a joke, including me.
Well, it's better to smile than to cry, sir.
I dare say. But that sort of attitude won't get you far.
You got me here, sir.
Stop trying to be funny, Newman.
Sorry, sir.
You've got to take some things seriously.
Well, didn't I take the gardening seriously then, sir?
Yes, I must admit you've done a very good job there. My daughter's spoken very highly of you.
Would it be impertinent to return the compliment, sir?
Yes, it would. But I'll tell her.
Thank you, sir. Oh, and while you're at it, would it be too much if I asked you to tell her something else?
That depends on what it is.
Well, sir, I'll be finishing my planting out this afternoon, and I'd be grateful if the chance to say goodbye to her and thank her.
Thank her for what?
Well, I'd just like her to know that, well, thanks to her, I've really enjoyed this stretch.
Don't overdo it, Newman. Let me see, this is your fifth, isn't it?
Sixth, I think, sir, but I wouldn't be dogmatic about it.
Well, whichever it is, let's hope it's the last.
If you say so, sir.
I seem to remember that last time I saw you before your discharge, your final words were, "You'll never see me here again, sir."
Funny how wrong one can be, sir.
And what do you say this time, Newman?
You will never see me here again, sir.
Put up, Herbert Newman.
Herbert Newman?
Yes, my lord.
I've been looking through the papers in your case. There are two counts of fraud against you, and I understand you pleaded guilty to both.
That's correct, my lord.
I think you should reconsider this, Mr. Newman. I'm doubtful if the evidence supports the one charge, and it looks to me as though you have a fair chance of being acquitted on the other.
Very good of you to take so much trouble, my lord.
I think you should change your plea to not guilty on both counts.
Suppose I do, my lord, and then I'm convicted just the same.
Then you'll be no worse off, will you?
Well, I might be, my lord, when it comes to sentence. I shan't be able to say that I haven't wasted the court's time by admitting my guilt from the start. Some judge is knocked a bit off for that.
That's a perfectly good point. A pity you don't use your obvious intelligence for better purposes.
But if I'm not guilty, as you suspect, my lord, then I have, haven't I?
Don't try to be funny. We can get over the difficulty you mention if I take the case. Then if you are convicted, I shall know that you tried to plead guilty in the first instance.
How much would you take over that, my lord?
If you go on talking like this, even if you are acquitted, you'll find yourself in prison for contempt of court.
That would mean Brixton, wouldn't it? Oh, I wouldn't like that, my lord, not Brixton.
Mr. Newman, I've had enough of this nonsense. I won't warn you again.
Sorry, my lord.
Very well. Then you will change your plea to not guilty.
If you say so, my lord.
I do. I think this case should be heard. Now, do you want a doc brief? Or do you want to appear for yourself?
Well, if I do it myself, I expect you'll help me, my lord.
I shall see that you are not at a disadvantage compared to the prosecution, and that you have a fair trial.
Then I'll have a doc brief, please, my lord. Can I have any of that lot?
Anyone not engaged in the case?
I'll have, that one, please, my lord.
Mr.,
Is your lordship looking at me?
I'm trying to.
Thursby, my lord.
Mr. Thursby, will you accept this case?
If your lordship pleases.
Then you better go and see him now, and I'll take it tomorrow.
Thank you, my lord.
This way, please, sir.
Oh, Mr. Thursby, how do you do?
How do you do?
My name's Herbert Newman.
Yes, I know.
Good, now that's good.
Fine.
Well, it shows you were listening, didn't it? Do have a seat. I'm afraid I can't offer you a drink.
That's perfectly right. I hardly ever drink during the day.
Ah, then you haven't been at the bar very long, have you?
I beg your pardon, sir.
Yeah, no, Mr. Thursby, I beg yours. A dock brief's a bit of a toss-up, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose in a way, perhaps.
Well, what I mean is, if you'd only just been called, you couldn't have much experience, could you? But, of course, if you're the type that keeps his youthful looks, you might have been at it for years.
Well, no, not years. About 6 months, don't you know?
That'll do very nicely.
I'll do my best for you, of course.
Yeah, of course you will. And as long as you've done your best, no one can blame you if you don't pull it off, can they? Now, you'll want to see a copy of the indictment, won't you? Hang on. Yeah, here we are.
Thank you. Now, from what the judge said, it looks as though you've got a chance.
There's always a chance, isn't there?
Then why did you plead guilty?
If I said it was because I am guilty, that would make it all good for you, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. I couldn't put you in the witness box to tell what I knew were lies.
Well, it's all right if you only think they're lies.
What I think doesn't matter.
Well, then I won't tell you I'm guilty.
But if you're now saying you're not guilty, why did you plead guilty?
You don't let up, do you, Mr. Thursby? You'll go a long way if you don't mind my saying so.
But never mind where I'm going. You tell me about yourself.
Yeah, I like that. Now, I like that very much. Still sticking to the point.
You might do the same yourself, Mr. Newman. You still haven't answered my question.
Well, I answered the judge, though, didn't I? Yeah, or weren't you listening to that bit?
Well, I tell you what, I'd like to hear it from you direct.
Right, now look at it this way, then. I've got 6 previous convictions. Yeah, hang on, or is it 5? I always forget. Anyway, I know the form pretty well. And it goes like this. You fight a case all the way, right up to the last moment, and then you're found guilty. Well, a judge isn't going to take much notice, is he? When you say, I'm very sorry, my lord, I won't do it again.
Well, no, I suppose not.
Well, there you are. Mind you, if it's a very bad case, it don't matter what you plead. They're going to throw the book at you anyway. You might as well have a run for your money. But it's not too bad. You save everyone a lot of time and trouble by pleading guilty. And you can usually get 6 months all for that, or maybe even a year.
I take your point, Mr. Newman.
You have a keen mind, Mr. Thursby.
Thank you, Mr. Newman, thank you. But it's still better to get off altogether, isn't it? So let's have a look at the facts and see what we can do. Now, let me see. Shocking. I see from the indictment that in one case, you sold a man a car you hadn't got, but you took his money just the same. And when he asked for it back, you didn't give it to him.
That's a very fair summary. Shocking behaviour, wouldn't you say?
Well, fraudulent on the face of it. And in the other case, let me see now, you did the same in the second case.
Worse and worse.
But why did the judge say you seemed to have a good defence?
Ah, now pardon me, Mr. Thursby. He didn't go so far as to say it was a good defence.
Well, any defence?
Well, there's always a chance, mind you. You've only got the indictment. The judge saw all the papers.
Ah, yes, of course. Now, what do they show?
They show that these 2 cars that I offered to sell to Mr. Lightbody and Mr. White have been bought by me from another man.
And the other man defaulted.
Very smart, Mr. Thursby. You've got it.
Yeah, please. And you're saying you couldn't hand their money back to Lightbody and White because you've already paid it to this other man.
You're still on the ball, Mr. Thursby.
Less your own profit, I suppose.
Mark, you don't miss a trick, do you?
Mr. Newman, I'd be awfully glad if you'd cut the commentary and stick to the facts.
You're quite right. You're quite right to pull me up, Mr. Thursby.
What was your own profit?
Only 20 or 30 pounds on each car.
Now, did you give back 20 or 30 pounds to Lightbody and White?
I couldn't.
Why not?
Well, by the time I asked for their money back, I'd spent it all on riotous living.
Pity.
True enough. All gone, nothing to show for it.
No. What I mean is, it would have been a point in your favour if we could have shown you'd repaid what you'd could.
You're right, Mr. Thursby. I ought to have hung on to that money, just in case. And then given it back to those poor men. Maybe that's another reason why I pleaded guilty. A sense of moral guilt.
Why only moral guilt?
Yeah, well, I'm not charged with failing to hand back the 20 or 30 pounds, am I? I'm charged with obtaining money by false pretences. By pretending I'd got cars to sell to Lightbody and White when I hadn't.
And you hadn't?
But I thought I had. And I would have had. This other man hadn't conned me.
All right. Now, look. Tell me about this other man, then. Who is he?
He goes by the name of King Smith. It's a double-barreled name. He's not exiled royalty or an American band leader.
I didn't imagine he was. Look, Do you take me for a complete idiot?
Oh, no, Mr. Fursby. Not a complete idiot.
Thank you. Now, look, this fellow, King Smith, is he an ordinary car dealer?
Yeah, I should hope not. Mind you, there are a few like him, and some of them end up in here. I mean, take myself for one. I've done a bit of dealing in my time.
I don't know how you get away with it.
Well, you don't always. Five times I didn't. Or was it six?
You did sometimes, didn't you? That's what I can't understand. People handing over the money without getting the car. I wouldn't.
Yeah, but then you're a lawyer. And a very smart lawyer, if I may say so.
Yes, yes. Look, don't they even want to see a car first?
Well, of course they want to see the car, all right. And they do. Look, when I was on this game, I used to hire a car for the day, a new one. And then offer it half the market price.
But didn't they ask for the logbook?
Well, of course they did. I said I'd send it on.
Oh, all right, all right. No logbook. But there was a car, and they paid you for it. Why didn't they get in and drive away?
Yeah, look, here, come here. Sometimes, there'd be an insurance problem. Other times, I'd do the pocket-to-pocket bit.
The pocket of what? Pocket-to-pocket. Pocket-to-pocket. What's that?
A noise in the engine that I'd pretend to hear. Hear that, I'd say? To-pocket-to-pocket. No, to-pocket-to-pocket. Then I'd mutter something about the tappets or push rods or whatever, and tell the mug that I'd be happy if I could put it right before he took over the car. Now, I'd offer to bring it round in the morning.
And meanwhile, you keep the money.
Yeah, sometimes I'd say, would you like your cheque back in the meanwhile? But most of them found it too awkward to say yes, because, I mean, that's as good as saying I don't trust you, isn't it? So I'd be left with the cheque and the car. The car would go back to the hire company next morning and I'd cash the cheque.
Yeah, but how? Nearly all cheques nowadays are crossed. You'd have to pay it into your bank.
Well, that's right. I gave it a special clearance. Draw the amount out of my account, and the mug never sees me again, or the car. Unless, of course, we should happen to meet in court.
But you must have had mugs sometimes who knew a bit about cars and weren't bothered about Topoka.
Do you know, I've even known a man overcome his embarrassment and ask for the cheque back.
What do you do then?
I get off it. If that's the sort you are, I say, you can take the car as it is, or the deal is off.
And if he calls your bluff, the deal is off?
No, it isn't bluff. It isn't bluff, Mr. Thursday, and the deal's on. I go off with a cheque, he goes off with a car.
But you see, it isn't your car to sell. It belongs to the hire company.
Well, so what? Someone's going to the police anyway, aren't they? Well, it don't make any difference to me whether it's the hire company or the purchaser.
As long as the police don't catch up with you.
On the ball again, Mr. Thursby.
All right, Mr. Newman, all right. I think I've got it all perfectly clear now.
Are you thinking of going in a racket yourself, are you?
Oh, what? Mr. Newman, please.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean no offence. Just a little bit of fun.
Yeah, you seem to think life's one long joke. Don't you ever take anything seriously?
Do you know, it's funny you should say that. The father of a friend of mine was saying the very same thing not long ago.
Never mind your friend's father. Let's get on with this.
Yeah, whatever you say, Mr. Fursby.
Now, you've told me how you operate. And if you did the same this time, I don't see how we're going to...
But I didn't, did I? This time it was on the level. Only I was conned by King Smith. God, we weren't an honest living part of the time. I mean, you don't lose all your cases, do you?
Well...
Or do you?
Certainly not. I better know a bit more about this King Smith character. Now, where did he live?
Search me.
What was the last address you had?
Warren Street.
The number?
There weren't any numbers.
What do you mean?
Well, he used the old street. Well, part of it, anyway.
But what do you know about him?
I know he conned me.
Before the transaction?
Nothing. I just saw him standing in the street with his new car. Well, good as new, anyway. The price was all right. He let me have a trial run, so I bought it.
Yeah, all right, now that's one car. Now, what about the other?
Yeah. Now, that's a good question, Mr. Fursby. I happen to have these two customers lined up, so I asked King Smith if he got another car like the first. And he said he had, so I bought that too.
And paid him?
Yeah, of course. I mean, he wouldn't let me have the other car otherwise, would he?
How did you pay him?
That's another good question. He asked me for the cash, but I was a bit short, so I gave him a cheque.
Had you any money in the bank?
What do you think?
I think you had.
But then it don't matter what you think, does it?
All right, Mr. Newman, all right. You gave him a cheque. What then?
Well, I asked him to hold it for 24 hours. Then I went and sold the cars to the other two.
The 2 months?
The two customers?
Look, you got their cheques anyway. Now, what then?
Can't you guess?
To pocket?
No, it was more of a to picker this time. So I told him I'll put things right, and I took the cars back to King Smith.
What for?
Well, I'm not a mechanic myself.
But Topoka wasn't real.
Topoka was. And King Smith agreed to do the job. So I cashed the two checks I got, I gave him the money and got my own check back, and that's the last I've seen of the cars, cash or King Smith.
If there is it a person.
Mr. Thursby, don't you believe me?
You must admit it's a very odd story.
Well, if it wasn't a very odd story, I wouldn't be here, would I?
Well, I suppose it's possible the jury might believe you when you tell them the tale.
Yeah, I won't be telling it.
You will.
Well, you'll be giving evidence.
Oh, no, not me. I'm not going in that witness box again.
You must!
Do you know what it's like? Standing up in that box with people firing questions at you? Why did you do that? Why didn't you do the other? When was this? When was that? Cast your mind back to the 19th of January. Yeah, have you ever thought what it's like to be on the other end of a cross-examination? What's the eighth commandment?
What? Eighth commandment?
Yeah, go on, tell me, what is it?
Thou shalt not, no, it's not that word. What on earth's the eighth commandment got to do with it?
Well, it proves my point, doesn't it? I mean, just having a nice friendly chat and you can't answer a simple question like that. What do you think it's like to be in a box with a real awkward questions coming at you? Everything flies out of your head.
I don't think yours is the sort of head that everything flies out of, Mr. Newman.
You're thinking again, Mr. Thursby.
I am thinking. You might as well plead guilty after all.
You heard what the judge said.
He assumed you'd be giving evidence.
How do you know?
He must have.
Why should he? A prisoner doesn't have to give evidence.
It looks pretty fishy if he does.
Not if you give a good explanation.
Like what?
You'll think of something.
Mr. Newman, if you do not go into the box, how can I possibly prove all that about King Smith and the money and Topeka?
You've been at it 6 months, haven't you? Should have learned to make bricks without straw by now.
You're asking me to make them without clay.
Thou shalt not steal.
I beg your pardon?
That's the eighth commandment.
I know that.
Well, you didn't know when I asked you in cross-examination, did you? Well, it's no good, Mr. Thursby. I'm not going in that witness box.
All right, all right. Then you'd have to make a statement from the dock.
Not likely. Can't you hear that old judge? If Mr. Newman had gone into the witness box, he could have been asked questions about his story, but he does prefer the safety of the dock. If he's an honest man, members of the jury, why do you think he's done that?
Whether you're an honest man or not, you are not giving yourself a chance.
But I'm giving you a chance, aren't I?
Is that what you call it?
Well, it'll be a good experience for you.
Quite frankly, I think it's going to be quite an experience for both of us. Goodbye, Mr. Newman. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, goodbye, Mr. Thursby. And cheer up. Do your best and you won't let me down. I'm counting on you.
He really is the most extraordinary man, Sally. The most extraordinary client I've ever had.
How many have you had, Roger?
Six. Or was it five? I always forget. No. It's more than that.
Do you know what I think?
Nope.
It sounds to me as if he wants to be convicted.
Good heavens, no. Nobody in his senses wants that.
Well, you said he was extraordinary. And he did plead guilty first.
So he changed his plea?
Well, only when the judge more or less told him to.
Well, then why didn't he run his own defense?
Well, perhaps he was afraid the judge would help him, and he might get off.
I might get him off.
Well, yes, darling, you might, if he'd give evidence.
Oh, I know, I see what you mean. That sounds a bit fishy, doesn't it? But you are wrong this time, Sally. You must be.
Why?
But nobody could possibly want to go to prison.
Well, he might if there was someone outside looking for him. Another gangster threatening to carve him up.
Well, my chap's not that type. He's a cheerful little man.
Well, then perhaps there's someone inside he wants to see again.
What, another old lag? Ridiculous.
I didn't say another old lag. I said someone. A girl, for instance.
They don't actually supply girls in male prisons, you know. I mean, Frank, I do. May come to it, of course, if the reformers get their way, but so far...
Roger! Prison officers have wives, don't they? And sisters and daughters? And so do chaplains and governors and deputy governors. Supposing he'd fallen for one of them.
Yeah, but how could he? They'd never meet.
Well, if he was on domestic work or gardening or something.
Well, how would he know he'd be sent back to the same place?
I don't know. But he seemed to have an answer for everything, according to you.
Well, come to think of it, I suppose he might.
Well, there you are, then.
Oh, no, he's utterly preposterous.
Why?
Well, he's been in five times already. Or is it six? I always forget. He'd never deliberately go inside again just for the sake of some girl.
Of course, I know you wouldn't.
You're dead right, I wouldn't.
Even if I was the girl inside?
Certainly not you. What? No! Sally, that is not fair.
But supposing it was Joy.
That's different. No, of course it didn't. Look, Sam, for goodness sake, don't start all that again. It's all over. I haven't seen her since that day at the races. She's never even rung up. Ha! It can't be.
Why not answer it and see?
I don't think it's for me.
It's your flat. Who else would it be for?
It's a wrong number.
Well, how can you possibly tell?
By the way, it's ringing.
I'll see, shall I?
No, not you. No, it's bound to be from the other place. All right, I'm coming. Roger Thursby.
Roger, darling. It's Joy. How are you?
How do you do? How do you do, Mr. Throttle Froth?
Darling, have you got somebody with you?
That is so.
Is it Sally?
That is correct.
I'll forgive you this time.
Yeah, you're always doing that. I wish you wouldn't. Goodbye.
Wait, Roger, I've got some marvellous news for you. My uncle was in court today.
What's marvellous about that?
Uncle Alfred, darling, the solicitor. He saw you get your dog Breed. He said it was extraordinary the way that man picked you out from all the others.
What's extraordinary about it?
He meant extraordinarily clever of the man to choose you, darling. At least I think he meant that.
Oh, yes, yes, very likely.
Of course, he says you haven't a hope of winning the case.
Does he indeed?
Well, the man's already pleaded guilty, hasn't he? But if you put up a good defense, I'm sure Uncle Alfred will send you more briefs with a bit of prompting from me.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
All right, my sweet. I won't keep you any longer now. But you can give me lunch tomorrow.
I'm in court tomorrow.
I know that, silly. I'll be there, too.
No!
Goodbye, darling.
No, no. Oh, hell. Goodbye, Mr. Thrustlethrob.
It was for you, then?
Yes, yes, it was, yes. It's just a message from a solicitor.
Or a solicitor's niece?
What strange ideas you have.
Only one idea, Roger.
What about your absurd theory that my client wants to go back to jail?
Is it so absurd?
Well, when you think about it, it's unthinkable. Nobody would. And apart from anything else, if he had wanted to, would he have asked for me to defend him?
That's unanswerable.
There you are, then. Now, let's go out and have some dinner. I'm starving. I want an early night tonight as well. I've got to keep my wits about me tomorrow.
You've had to keep them about you this evening, haven't you?
I don't know what you mean.
Mr. Thrupplethroth?
Who? Oh, him! Yes, yes. No, no, I'm...
All right, Roger, forget it. And very good luck to you for tomorrow.
Thank you, darling. Not that I've much hope of winning without his evidence, but I'll go down fighting.
I'm sure he couldn't ask for more. Well, I'm ready if you are. Shall we go?
I'm waiting, Mr. Thursby.
Are you, my lord?
Don't you want to cross-examine the inspector?
What? Yes, of course, yes. I mean, if your lordship pleases.
Try and keep your wits about you, Mr. Thursby.
Yes, my lord. Now, Inspector, you have told us that when you charged the accused, he said that he'd bought the cars from another man, a Mr. King Smith, who then ran off with the cars and cash.
Yes, sir. That's what he said.
Yeah. And he said it without any hesitation.
No particular hesitation.
That, what do you mean by no particular hesitation?
Well, I mean, I meant what I said, sir. No particular hesitation.
Yeah, but you see, why use the word particular? Was there, in fact, no hesitation?
Yes, sir.
There was?
Yes, sir, there was no hesitation.
Ah! Then I ask you again, why use the word particular?
No particular reason, sir.
Weren't you trying to insinuate to the jury that there was some hesitation? But you didn't like to perjure yourself by saying there was, so you implied it by pushing in the word particular?
No, sir, I wasn't trying to imply anything, only to answer your question.
And the answer is, there was no hesitation.
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, Inspector, when the accused told you his story with no hesitation, did you not believe it?
I had no reason to believe it.
And no reason to disbelieve it?
No particular reason?
You see, now, here we go again. No particular reason. Do you mean no reason?
I suppose I do.
Suppose?
Well, people don't always tell the truth.
Now, really, Inspector, if somebody tells you something and you've no reason to disbelieve it, you believe it, don't you?
If I've no reason to disbelieve it, yes, I suppose I do.
And you had no reason to disbelieve what Mr. Newman told you?
No.
So you must have believed it. And if it's true, the only guilty person connected with this case is Mr. King Smith.
It would appear, sir.
You see, what do you mean, appear, sir? If what Mr. Newman told you is true, is he not completely innocent of both charges?
I suppose. Yes.
Mr. Thursby, don't you think you've asked him enough?
Be quiet, sir. You've elected to be defended by counsel, and you must leave it to him to ask what he thinks fit.
One more question, Inspector. Have you any evidence, that is to say, any witnesses or documents, that is to say, any evidence? I've said that bit, haven't I? Yes, I said it again. I mean, anything to show that what my client told you was not true?
No, sir. Can't say I have.
Thank you, Inspector.
Mr. Bennett?
No re-examination, thank you, my lord. That is the case for the Crown.
Mr. Thursby?
My lord, I call no evidence.
What? Not even... No evidence at all?
No, my lord.
I see. Well, in that case, Mr. Bennett, do you wish to address the jury?
No, thank you, Lord.
Quite. Go on, Mr. Thursby.
May it please your lordship, members of the jury, I shall not take up much of your time. You've heard the case of the Crown, you've heard the explanation which my client gave to the inspector at the police station. The inspector had no reason to disbelieve that explanation. So why should you? His lordship may comment on the fact that my client has not gone into the witness box to tell you the tale himself. I mean, to tell you what happened. But there's no particular reason why he should. No reason at all. I mean, why should he, members of the jury? It is the law of England that nobody has to prove the case against himself. That's not right. No, nobody has to disprove the case against him. It's for the prosecution to prove it. You may think, as my client does, that the witness box is a very unpleasant place. I venture to suggest that even an experienced witness like the inspector didn't find it too pleasant. You've only got to make one slip, use one particular word, and before you know where you are, it's what's the eighth commandment and everything flies out of your head. Now, can you blame my client for not wanting to go through that ordeal? If it was a very bad case, that is to say, if there was an overwhelming case against him, it would be another matter. But I submit that there isn't any case at all if you take the same view as the inspector took when he heard my client's explanation. And I'm confident that you will believe it, members of the jury, as he did, and that your verdict will be not guilty.
Madam, kindly be quiet if you wish to remain in court. Members of the jury, the prisoner Herbert Newman is charged with two offences, and it now becomes my duty...
Members of the jury, are you agreed upon your verdict?
We are.
Do you find the prisoner, Herbert Newman, guilty on count one or not guilty?
Not guilty.
And that is the verdict of you all?
It is.
Members of the jury, on count two, do you find the prisoner, Herbert Newman, guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
And that is the verdict of you all?
It is.
Herbert Newman, you are discharged.
Roger, that was marvellous.
Oh, hello, Joy. Not so bad, was it?
Super, darling.
I was rather pleased, quite frankly, pulling it off without his evidence.
I dare say you were, Mr. Fursby, but I was not.
Still joking, Mr. Newman? No, you're not joking. Oh, but Sally was right again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, miss.
What are you doing?
Right.
Oh, oh, Roger!
You, you fool! What are you thinking of doing?
I'm sorry if this hurts you, Mr. Fursby.
Oh! Oh, Roger, Roger, get up!
Got him, sir. Do you want to charge him?
Certainly I want to charge him. Assault and battery, robbery with violence, throw the book at him.
That's what I like to hear. And this time I won't ask you to defend me.
I should hope not.
Well, maybe next time. I might want to get off then. Right, officer, whatever the charge is, I'm guilty.
In that episode of Brothers-in-Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Briers. Sally, Julia Lockwood. Joy, Bridget Armstrong. The judge, Basil Dignam. Newman, James Beck. Everyone else, William Fox, Leslie Heritage, and Michael Kilcariff. In and Out was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by David Hatch.